Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, it's good to be able to just come back together again, just to continue looking at this Christmas story. We're in week 5 of our series, A Very Different Kind of Christmas. And we're heading for, a very different Christmas because of all that's happened and because of some of the restrictions that we're facing and continue to face as well. But nonetheless, God is still at work and God has something to say to each of us, perhaps especially during this time as we pause long enough to listen to him. Last week, we looked at the story of the shepherds and we looked at how they went from that sense of isolation, watching their flocks by night or washing their socks by night, whichever version you sing, to that place of inclusion as they were invited to the stable to come and worship Jesus, the newborn king. Please catch up with the series and as we've traced this story through the different characters in it. And today I want us to look at the story of the kings or magi or wise men, whatever it is that you wanted to say their title is, as we trace their journey as well, as Kerry read to us a little bit earlier. It can be a bit confusing dealing with the story of the wise men now, because the chances are that it was probably a couple of years after the birth of Jesus that the wise men entered the scene. In our text today, you'll see that they entered the house where Mary and Joseph and Jesus were. So one presumes they'd moved into a more permanent accommodation at this particular time. So I'm sorry for playing a bit fast and loose with the story, and of course they arrived after Christmas, but of course the kings are in every nativity scene, and I expect if you've got a nativity scene in your house that there are some kings there, aren't there? And how many? 3, generally 3. But of course the text doesn't tell us that there were 3 kings, it just says they bought 3 gifts, and so traditionally we've assumed that there were just 3 of them, but there could have been more. And there could have been many more in the retinue coming to follow to see Jesus. See, the good news of the kings, of course, is that they followed this star. They made it out an all-out search for Jesus. They wanted to see where this star led, and nothing would stop them from this particular adventure. But of course, in our text, there were some stumbling blocks to them reaching the end of their journey, the goal with which they'd set out in the first place. But I want today to think about how a search for Jesus can end up in surrendering to Jesus. And that could make a very different kind of Christmas for each of us this year. Many things can stop us from searching, but it is the determination to search that marks out those who are desperate to find Jesus. And however long or short you've been a follower of his, there's still more to discover. We keep searching for more understanding about who Jesus is and what he calls us to. Because when we get to the end of the search and we surrender, that's when transformation happens in our lives. For the kings, they saw Jesus, and that was enough to send them home very different from how they'd set out in the first place. So in our reading, we see three very different contrasting reactions in this story. And I want to just think about the reactions that people make towards Jesus. Maybe reactions you've made towards him, maybe in the past or maybe right now. And you stumbled across this particular video today, unsure about who Jesus really is and some of the reasons why perhaps you don't believe that he came. But all of us can get distracted, can be put off the search at different points in our journey. And these reactions and emotions can be very common for anyone. So the first reaction that they came across was antagonism. In Matthew 2, verse 3, the reading we had, it says there that Herod was disturbed. He felt threatened. He was antagonistic towards Jesus. Now, that may be not very apparent from the text, but I think underlying all of Herod's conversation with the kings, with the Magi, was the fear and almost the paranoia that another king had been born. Herod wasn't a very nice king. He had a reputation for brutally killing all those who would get in his way and oppose him, or even threaten him a little bit into his dominance of that society. He was known to be brutal. And of course, we know a little later on in the text of Matthew 2 that he undertook this killing of all the boys under 2 years old. Why that? Well, he asked a very clever question when the Magi appeared. When did the star appear? Now, very clever, because he wanted to know the exact time that the star appeared to celebrate the birth of a new king. And if he knew that, then he could eliminate anyone who was going to be a threat to him born at that particular time. You can see that in chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 16. See, it's too easy to have our own agenda. It's too easy when it comes to Jesus to make Jesus in our image rather than to allow him to make us in his image. We want to keep what we've built. We feel threatened by anything that might dismantle it, anyone who might come to take it away. And so we fail to surrender because of that antagonism, because of fear that we won't be in control anymore. Herod stayed in his palace with his own toys, despite the opportunity to travel to see this new king. The Magi wanted to go and worship the child they would find, but the Herod stayed put. Of course, antagonism isn't always seen in aggression. It is sometimes very subtle, undermining the wise men's desire to worship, threatened by someone else getting the attention. So perhaps it's good to ask this Christmas, is there anything you're holding on to that you need to surrender to Jesus? Anything that's stopping you? Maybe it's made you antagonistic towards the story. Status, wealth, achievement, title. None of them are bad in themselves, but it's easy to allow them to get in the way of surrendering to Jesus, of worshipping him with all we have. I think the second reaction in this story is one of apathy, perhaps a more common reaction in our day as well. Notice in the story that Herod calls the chief priests and the teachers of the law to find out what they know about this Messiah who was going to be born and where he would be born. And the interesting thing to me is that they knew exactly where he would be born. They quoted Micah chapter 5, the prophecy from the Old Testament, that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. They knew the answer to the question. So why hadn't they been looking out for the signs as well as these wise men? Why hadn't they, when the wise men came, decided to tag on with them to go and see this new king? Why hadn't they gone the 6 miles that was from the palace to Bethlehem? That was all it was. Why hadn't they gone there? Well, because even though they knew the answer, they were apathetic to the one who was going to be born to the world. They knew the scriptures. They knew the answers, but they didn't care. They didn't impact their everyday life. Jesus said something similar in his ministry to the same group of people. In John chapter 5, verse 39, he said to them, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." That's exactly what happened in Herod's palace. They refused to go to see Jesus, where life was. Their apathy meant that they weren't prepared to surrender and worship the King. Isn't it incredible that we can know the words in the Bible without knowing the person that they're talking about? Isn't it amazing that you can go through the ritual and the routines of religion without developing a relationship with the one that they're pointing to? The whole of the Bible is about Jesus. Martin Luther, the reformer, 500 years ago, he said this: "Scripture is the manger in which the Christ lies." Now, as a parent goes to a cot to find their baby, so we can go to the Bible to find Jesus. Don't inspect the cot and forget to worship the baby. A U2 song perhaps sums up many people's feelings. "I've climbed the highest mountains, I've run through the fields, I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for." And perhaps that's simply because we're looking in the wrong place. When the whole of the scripture, when the Bible points to Jesus. But of course, we can all read the Bible and study it and memorize it and quote it and share it and preach it and sing it and meditate on it, but still we can miss the person that it is all about. Still I can take him for granted. Still I can ignore him when it's convenient. Still I can avoid putting his word into practice. Apathy can get in the way of the search and leave us short of the surrender. But the third reaction is what I think God is looking for. Antagonism, apathy, adoration. The Magi from the east, maybe from Persia, maybe Babylon, maybe 800 miles on a camel. That sounds like a very long, hard journey. The Bible tells us that the Jewish people were exiled to Babylon, and now Babylonians are travelling west to Jerusalem, not for war, but to search out the Prince of Peace. The story of exile is always about moving east. Adam and Eve were sent east of Eden for disobeying God's commands, but now the east and the west meet because of Jesus. They went to a palace to search for a king. Why not? But having been told to look in Bethlehem, they went on their way. And Matthew says, verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Adoration begins with joy. When we realize who Jesus is and that we can go and worship him. And verse 11 says, they went into the house, they saw the child and Mary and fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped Jesus. Their search had ended in surrender. The only response when you come into the presence of Jesus, when you're overwhelmed by a sense of who he is and what he's come for. And they surrendered themselves and they offered the very best gifts, opening their hands in worship and praising and surrendering everything they had to him. Paul in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, to offer everything we have, our very best to him in adoration for his gift to us." God invites us to come face to face with Jesus. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When searching ends with surrender. Herod was antagonistic. The scholars in the palace were apathetic, but the kings, wise men, magi, they came 800 miles to adore the newborn king. What will it take for you to get up and find Jesus? Why did the Magi have to come and find this newborn king in a completely different country and culture? They had many kings of their own. They would have passed many places where kings were in their palaces and they could have stopped at any one of them. But they knew that wasn't enough. I think they knew that there was only one true king, who had one name, and that at that name every knee would bow and every tongue would confess, "Jesus Christ is Lord." I think that's where they came. And I think that's why we still search for Jesus. Because we know that nothing else and no one else can satisfy, that only he deserves our surrender. When we realise that we too can bow down and worship and present what we have, that's the act of surrender. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I have, I give him. Give him my heart. What will you do for Jesus? How far will you travel? How far did Jesus go for you? He left the throne of heaven. He emptied himself of all but love and went all the way from a cradle to the cross. He made it possible for you and me to make the journey, to enter into his presence and to make the journey onto our knees and worship him in surrender. He opened up the way and invites us in. Oh, come, let us adore him, because he is the Lord. So make this a very different kind of Christmas. Move from searching to surrender. Perhaps you're feeling antagonistic towards this story already. Maybe past hurts, disappointments, people who've let you down who were Christians, and it's just been too much. Well, maybe this Christmas, move from that place of antagonism to search for Jesus and find him and surrender. In January, we're going to start Alpha again, and that's a great place to search for who Jesus is. And I encourage you to come and find out more about that in the new year. Or maybe you're feeling apathetic. Maybe your relationship with Jesus is not just what it should be or what it used to be or what you know you long for it to be. And maybe this Christmas it moves from your head to your heart. You make the journey of 18 inches, the toughest journey, when you know in your head and you maybe even believe it in your head, but it's got to take root in your heart. Surrender to him this year. Or maybe today is your day of adoration, where you make the journey from standing to falling on your knees to recommit to the King of Kings, the one name that is above every other name, and give him the very best you have. the cross invites you. Jesus has made a way for you. He's already taken the journey through death for you, and you're invited. You know, at the very end of this journey, Matthew 2, verse 12, the Magi returned a different way, changed people, because they'd surrendered to the King of Kings. What could your life look like when you fall on your knees and give him your best? A very different kind of Christmas this year for you, I pray. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help us understand the different way that we can live for you. I pray that you'll help us to discover a new way to come home. I pray that our lives will be changed as we surrender to you. Jesus, I come and kneel before you today. I offer you my life. Use me for your purposes. We join today with all those who have knelt before you. And we say, I give you my heart. Use us, I pray. Fill us again with your Spirit. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to worship you every day and to serve others in your name and to help them find you and discover the truth of who you are. Thank you, Jesus, that you invite us in. I pray that we'll be changed through your presence and through your power. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I pray that as you continue to meditate on this story, that you'll find that place of surrender. You'll give him your best. If we can help in any way, please do get in touch. Just drop us a line at inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. We'd love to continue this journey with you. And if you want to find out more about Alpha, then drop us a line as well, and we'll send out more details to you.